ever think about living in Los Angeles, think again. This is the most lonely place ever, and they make you pay your arm.
Hi, I'm in a shitty mood because I'm a 30-year-old trying to date, and it's just painful. Did you eat something? I'm feeling rather annoyed right now. And whenever I feel annoyed, I feel like I need to pop off on something. And that something is usually TikTok. So I feel like when it comes to dating, I've been very chill and calm when it comes to my old like set of standards that I held for myself. I'm like, okay, I need like, what the fuck? I need like really high standards. Like I have high standards. And I do. But I feel like with dating, like I've kind of like realized to calm down a little bit in certain areas where I've been so high and mighty and tight with like certain things that you need to have. And I like been relaxed on that. And I'm still just like not seeing or like feeling how I'm feeling I'm supposed to be feeling. And it's just like kind of upsetting. Cause I'm like, okay, not that I'm lowering my standards. I just feel like I'm like opening up a little bit more and like growing up, realizing that maybe certain things that I used to think were like negatives are actually positives. And I don't know how to navigate it. I'm in this weird limbo of like trying to grow, trying to learn. And you don't even make excuses for someone in your head. And then you kind of calm yourself down. And then you're like, do I need to be making those excuses? I'm just feeling defeated because it's really hard to like start over. And again, you know, when you open yourself emotionally up to dating, I don't know.
Notice he said the keyword, standards. And this is where many don't understand why men actually have more luck in dating. We don't go out expecting the next woman to be the one. We go out with no pressure, no unrealistic expectations. And that gives us more access. Because many times, we're not guided solely by looks, but by how she makes us feel. If she's kind, if she knows how to listen, if it feels good to be around her. Simple. Respect and peace. Women aren't looking for that. They're after the guy with the infamous 666 of the apocalypse. 6 feet tall, six-pack abs, and a six-figure income. The 666 from hell. That kind of man only makes up about 20% of the population, but 80% of women are chasing him. What happens? Many end up competing with each other for just one guy, and in the end, they're left alone. Because the wall doesn't forgive, and by the time they realize it, there's no line waiting for them. All that's left is regret and TikTok to vent.
Men don't really approach women that much anymore for a lot of different reasons, I think. But personally, I want to be approached. I would love to meet someone in real life versus online. And as long as it's a respectful approach, I'm always going to be nice. Even if I'm not interested, I'm never going to be rude to the guy. But I think as women, we have to give a signal that we are interested before most men will feel like it's okay to like actually approach you. Personally, I'm not going to approach a man. That's not me. But I will make it clear that I'm interested. I will pretty much give him an open invitation to approach me through eye contact, smiling at him, physically like getting closer to him in whatever vicinity that we're in. And if he doesn't take that invitation, then I would just assume he's taken or he doesn't have the confidence to come up to me, which just means he's not for me. I'm going to try harder to meet people in real life.
Good luck with that. Cold approaching used to be one of the best ways to meet women. But today, one out of every five attempts can go wrong. We live in a time where radical feminism has made many men prefer to avoid trouble altogether. Especially if you're an average guy, because we all know how it goes. If an attractive man gives a compliment, it's flattering. If a less attractive man does it, it's harassment. No one wants to end up on TikTok going viral over a false accusation. No one wants a public scene to be filmed or to have the police called on them just for trying to start a conversation. And the risk is real. Many women may say they want men to approach them, but very few are willing to take responsibility for the kind of environment they've helped create. If you're not willing to make the first move yourself, or at least clearly signal that you're open to being approached, the average man is going to stay on the apps. Because today, talking in person isn't just hard, it's risky.
I feel like my outlook on dating changes every single day at this point. It is like a horrible roller coaster that I cannot get off of. And the first day I will have this enthusiasm for it. I will say, I am going to go out there and find my soulmate because I am the lover girl. I like putting effort into things. And when I like somebody, I get the hard eyes, like the big old cartoon hard eyes. And I want you to have that back for me. And I give all my time and energy to somebody because I really believe I have a person out there and I want to find them. And then the next day, the rose-colored glasses will fall off and I'll be on TikTok and I'll see some videos on my FYP that are like, you need to stop being a lover girl and not take dating so seriously. You need to treat dating like a hobby because these people don't care about you. You don't really know them. You are putting too much time and energy into strangers. And so you need to play the field and really be detached from the outcome. That's day number two. Day number three, I think to myself, I should not be dating at all. Honestly, maybe the people who say that you should focus on yourself and then good things fall into place, maybe they're right. Maybe they're onto something. And maybe I should just go do what I want and be alone. But then I remember that I hate being alone. And I am better in a partnership. My friends have even told me that they like me more when I have a partner. Not in a mean way, but like I understand it. And then the fourth day I'll wake up and I will realize I'm still in love with my ex. And then we just rinse and repeat.
Oh, hell no!
This is the kind of woman you should avoid at all costs. The one who never knows what she wants. Today she's in love. Tomorrow she wants to be alone. The next day she's back with her ex, and then decides she'd rather focus on herself. One day she makes you feel like you're building a serious, stable relationship with a future. And the next she wakes up saying she wants to explore her options or that she realized something. Women like this destroy good men. They throw you off your path, make you doubt yourself, and drag you into their emotional instability. And the worst part is, they disguise it all as personal growth. Don't fall for that game.
Women.
So I was talking to this guy that I met on Hinge, right? And everything was going amazing. Everything was going great, actually. The communication was there. I thought we were on the same page. We went to Paris. We were going on dates every week, having phone calls, phone conversations every night. And then all of a sudden, his demeanor changed and I realized it, but I didn't say anything. He asked me to be his Valentine early January, right? And I told him, I was like, of course, I would love to be. And then like maybe like a couple days later or a week later, I was like, I would love for you to ask me like, you know, with a card or something, like something sweet, like ask me something sentimental, right? So he's like, oh, I'm wondering. He was like, I wish I would have thought of that myself, you know, whatever. But it wasn't a big deal to me. So he paid for everything. He paid for all the dates. The only thing I paid for was when we went to Paris and I paid for my own room because I told him that's what I wanted. So, like I said, his demeanor changed. And I was like, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to preach for a little bit, but I want to learn how to love better. I want to love better. I want to love people in my life better, not only relationship-wise, but just like friendships and, you know, family members. And when you look at 1 Corinthians 13, when God describes love, the first thing he describes love as is patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. If I want to love, and if God is love, the first thing that God says love is patient. So if this man is having a hard time, something is weighing heavy on his heart, let me be patient with him. Let me give him, you know, let me give him the time to like get his words out, right? 4 days pass. We finally end up having a conversation. Why he's acting the way he's acting? Because, you know, all of a sudden things have changed. Basically, he says that he wants to be, he doesn't know if we're compatible because he wants to be in a dynamic where he treats then the girl would treat. So I'm like, are you looking for 50-50? And he was like, no, maybe like 75-25, you know, vice versa. Sometimes me, sometimes them, sometimes me. And I was like, you know, I've explained to this guy multiple times that I'm that way when I'm in a relationship. You're courting me right now. You're not my boyfriend. But you're courting me. You're getting to know me. And, you know, we're going on dates.
Stop it. Get some help.
Look at the dynamic happening here. The guy pays for every date, even a trip to Paris where she only covers her own room. And still, she feels like it's not enough. Why? Because to her, courtship is a one-way street. He gives, she receives. When he expresses that he'd like a more reciprocal dynamic, maybe 75/25 at the very least, she takes it as if he's failing in his role as the provider man. This clearly shows how many modern relationships are imbalanced from the start. The man puts in effort, invests time, money, and energy, while the woman feels entitled to judge whether it's enough without offering anything in return. And when he asks for something fairer, he's labeled as weak, insecure, or not a real man. That's when he starts to realize that no matter how much he does, it will never be enough.
So, yeah, I mean, I am expecting for you to pay. But we've been out before and I've paid because I realized he was paying for a lot of things. And I told him, like, that's something I do when I'm in a relationship, but I really like you. So can I, you know, treat you back? So that was kind of BS, you know what I mean? But what really got me was that he was like, you know, I don't know if we're compatible because I'm looking for someone that's going to treat me back and all of this stuff. And I explained to him that, you know, about the whole, like, I would do that if, you know, you're my boyfriend, but you're not my boyfriend. We're getting to know each other. And he said, well, you know, this is why I have a hard time saying love. And, you know, this is why, you know, I don't really like, you know, I haven't had a girlfriend for 10 years. You have commitment issues. And you could have just said that before. But anyways, what really got me, what was the kicker for me was that, and this is kind of like a, okay, let me just say it. Lord, and I pray that you help me say how I feel it. Little did he know, I had just bought him, you know, I started preparing his Valentine's Day gifts, you know, like I got him a YSL cologne because he said he wanted to have like a signature scent. He's not really into scents like that. He wants to get into it. I got him a YSL cologne, right? I was going to make him like a boyfriend basket. He's not my boyfriend. I was going to make him one though, because I like him. So I bought that. He's a chef who wants to get into baking. So I got him, I did my research on cookbooks and I ordered, the day before I ordered him a cookbook, The Dessert Person, which is a very popular book within the baking community. I got him that. I was going to put that in the basket. I was going to get him an Aritzia sweatsuit. I was going to get him just like a silk pajama set. Like I was just going to get him all these things. I had already bought like half of the things already. And little did he know that. And it just is like going back to, you know, when the Lord talks about what love is patient. I'm over here trying to extend patience to you. I'm going to give him time to explain himself to me. Like I'm going to give him time to figure out what's weighing on his heart. You couldn't do the same for me. So I asked him, I didn't tell him all of these things. So I'm like, so you're unsure about me. He hesitated. I said, you're unsure about me. So if you're unsure about me, I'm 100% unsure about you now. And I would never sit here and try to invest into someone who's unsure about me. So I took my exit. So I think my dad's about to have a new cologne or one of my best friends. But am I going to stop believing in love and all of that? No!
God damn it! You can't make this shit up!
This woman's problem is thinking, I'll give after I receive. And that mindset always fails, because men don't expect everything to happen immediately, but they do look for clear signs of reciprocity. This guy took her to Paris, did what she asked, acted like a gentleman, and still, when the key moment of the trip arrived, she asked for a separate room. Up to that point, she hadn't paid for anything. The only thing she paid for was distance. That leaves a mark. Does she really like me? Or is she just here for the trip and the experience? She says she would do more if they were in a relationship, but when exactly did she plan to get there? After a year? Two. Only if the guy kept investing without getting anything in return? A masculine man has no problem paying for dates, but he does have a problem feeling like he's being used. When he asked for a simple gesture, she took it as an attack. And of course, when she realized he was having second thoughts, she decided to leave. But not without reminding us that she already had half a basket of gifts bought. Brother, that guy left just in time, before all his effort ended with her saying she just wants to be friends. Genuine interest is not negotiable.
Okay, let's talk dating as a single mom, because this is a question that I get asked very, very frequently. Carla. How do you date as a single mom? Carla, are you dating right now? And as much tea as I'd like to give you guys, I'm currently not dating, but I don't know. My mindset with dating is like very, very relaxed. I kind of flip-flop back and forth between wanting something serious and then wanting something fun. I don't know. It seems like a really weird topic to talk about because I'm super private when it comes to all of that. I know exactly what I want, and I know that I don't want to settle for anything because the way that I look at it is if I didn't settle for my kid's dad, why would I settle for another man that isn't their dad? I feel like now that me and the other parent are, you know, co-parenting here and there, that I will have more time. But I will say that even if I start dating, I would keep it super private just because that's just the way that I am. One thing that I do know for certain, 100%, is that I will never bring a man around my kids. I'm just really protective of my kids, and I never want to bring anyone around them that isn't going to be in their life. So yeah, that's the tea on my dating life. I get this question a lot, so I figured that I would make like a quick little video just kind of going over my mindset on things. If you're a single mom and you're currently in the dating field, let me know what you guys think. How do you do it? What do you do? What are some boundaries, or what are some things that you're looking for? Because yeah, I'm just curious. Yeah, bye guys.
She's torn between wanting something serious or just having fun. And she already chose wrong the first time, ending up divorced. Now she's hesitating again. And everything points to her making the same mistake with the second one. When do these women mature? How many more mistakes do they need before they learn they can't keep experimenting when children are already involved? The most important decision in a woman's life is choosing the right man to be the father of her first child. And if you already chose wrong, at least try not to make the second one another Chad. But no, they repeat the same cycle: excitement, disappointment, and then they wonder why they end up raising kids alone.
If nobody wants to date single moms, how we all got boyfriends? Somebody is lying on this app, because I will have my daughter in my arms and I will have somebody come ask me out. And I'll just be like, oh, well, like, you know, I got a kid, right? And then I'm like, all right, cool. What kind of snacks you like? So somebody is lying. I need all the men that say y'all, that men don't want single moms to come forward, because y'all lying.
Stop it. Get some help.
There's a world of difference between a man who wants to sleep with you and one who wants something long-term. It's not the same, and many women just don't want to accept that. The truth is, most men, though not all, would sleep with almost any woman if given the chance. And in that group, single mothers are often seen as easy targets. There are guys who actually prefer dating single moms because they know that all it takes is a little attention to get quick access. But when she wants something more serious, when the kids come into the picture, when it's time to move in together, share responsibilities, pay bills, that's when the guy vanishes. Because he was never there to build anything. He was just there to have a good time. And that's the harsh reality many women refuse to see.
Oh, if nobody wants to date single moms, how we all got boyfriends? Somebody is lying on his app, because I will have my daughter in my arms and I will have somebody come ask me out. And I'll just be like, oh, well, like, you know, I got a kid, right? And I'm like, all right, cool. What kind of snacks you like?
Look, man. Now, I'm going to be very honest about this topic, because at the end of the day, I mean, hell, my wife was a single mother. I never had an issue dating single mothers. And I think outside of the internet and podcasts, that most dudes really don't, or at least they used to not. And women kind of did that to themselves. And couple that with Red Pill podcasts, like today's is probably not, but dudes still would date single mothers and do. But, to her point, it's a series of things, man. Cause I mean, back in my day, you know, I understood that, yeah, single, like big women and single mothers was easy. Like if I was ever in a dry spell and down on hard times, I knew I could always hit up a single mother or a big woman. Don't get mad. This is just the truth, you know? And with the big chicks, it was always like, you know, I wasn't ugly. So if I dealt with them, they was ready to go. Cause they didn't know when the next time they was going, like they would be hungry for attention. And then back then they always had good personalities. Like now they be thinking that's here nor there. And then like single mothers, they didn't know when the next time, you know what I'm saying? They be always on go. That little coochie be prying and ready, boy. Them kids make that coochie immaculate. And then, you know what I'm saying? Boy, let a baby mama be mad at her baby daddy. Let a baby mama finally get a weekend away from them kids. Boy, you went for a good weekend, ain't it? And, you know, single mothers tend to
be attractive because they're single mom. They got pregnant for a reason. You know what I'm saying? And most dudes, and you look at their baby daddies, and their baby daddies never match their preferences.
I'll give this man some credit. He has a point. He even admits it himself. His ex-wife was a single mom. And yes, he dated her, enjoyed her company, but he didn't stay. That's what a lot of men do. They go out with single mothers, enjoy the moment. But when it's time to commit, very few stick around. The ones who do usually tend to be beta providers, men with low demand, who see in that woman an opportunity they wouldn't get elsewhere. And yes, many of these women become more attractive after having their first child. They take better care of themselves. And of course, a man who's been in a dry spell for years sees that and falls for it. She treats him well for a weekend, gives herself completely, and he gets hooked. But that's during the courtship phase, when everything feels great. The problem comes when responsibility enters the picture: kids, bills, commitment. That's when things stop being easy, and many men run away. Because having a good time is one thing, but carrying the whole load is a whole different story.
Now, because you'd be like, well, what the fuck was he? And you, but it'd be them. I tell you, I call them turtle dudes. They the dudes that catch them off a bad breakup. You know what I'm saying? Catch them when they down and bad and they just looking for some affection. They get treated right by the ugly dude. You know what I'm saying? Or pretending by. And then he like, dang, she the baddest chick I ever had. I got to get her pregnant. Because she eventually wake up because he going to get full of himself, or she going to wake up out of that rut and start going back to what she used to and seeing what she used to and be like, why am I with him? And then he start feeling himself or be like, dang, what am I going to do to control her and keep her? Because I'm not used to having bad bees. So he going to get her pregnant because that's the only way that they can keep them forever. They will ever, forever, even if they break up, they're forever tied together. And he going to normally be the problematic baby daddy. But most dudes never, like, I didn't care about dating single mothers. It just came to either, it was usually never the woman. It was either their issues, like how they were with their kids, or it was their baby daddies. So that's usually why I would be like, okay. And I would get tired of it. But as far as dealing with them, like, I never had an issue. See, and maybe because if it's not the baby daddy, it's how they are with their kids. And how, like, if we getting serious, it turns in, it's you, like, the ones that will remind you, like, it's us versus, like, you're just an addition. So, like, that gets tiring instead of looking at it like, well, you're going to be the one that is leading this family type shit, whatever, whatever. Like, but you couple that with today in 2024 with podcasts, you know, bitches like Sprinkle Sprinkle and, you know, the topics that we talk about, it's devalued. Like, single mothers have overinflated themselves, and the dudes, you know what I'm saying, have caught on to the game, and the dudes that didn't, you know, have access to women try to get a part of the game. Like, oh, I'm just going to talk to, like, the podcast that told the men, like, since you're single with no children and you have a good job, you deserve, you're better than those single mothers. And it's like, eh. Because that doesn't mean you get access to any woman. And, like, even, like, just because you got a good job or just because you don't have children doesn't put you above a woman that is attractive and can usually get whatever type of man she wants just because she got a kid or two. Because you supposed to go talk to the single mother because you're still ugly, you're still short, you're still out of shape. So, like, podcasts have jacked it up for both sides. These internet topics have jacked it up both sides. But outside and in real life, I think most dudes really don't care. It just be how y'all are with y'all kids and then y'all baby daddies. Because stepdaddies and men who want to be stepfathers used to get treated with respect and, like, honored. And now they get, you know, treated as licks and simps. So, I mean, ladies, y'all kind of did it to yourself.
Personally, I don't attack this topic because, as I've said before, I don't like the idea of a man living his whole life alone. I believe this country needs fathers, and if you're a single dad, it might actually work in your favor to be with a woman who also has kids. They understand the dynamic, they support each other, and there's often a more natural compatibility in many aspects. But of course, it all depends on the attitude and maturity both bring to the situation. Now, what I do think is wrong is when a man ends up getting married, taking responsibility for kids that aren't his, living in a house where the children don't respect him, and dealing with the constant shadow of the ex. Because let's be honest, a lot of men get involved with single mothers without really thinking it through, and they end up shouldering a responsibility that was never theirs to begin with. And like he said, if she was once the dream woman of another man who lost her, that guy isn't going to disappear, he's going to keep hovering around. Financially, it's also an issue, because even if they say you won't spend more, that's just not true. But like always, there's a market for everything. And yes, there are even men who consider single mothers their preferred dating group.
I'm starting over after leaving a marriage that lasted over 3 decades. It's scary, it's freeing, it's messy, and it's mine. Hi, I'm Nikki, and this is my dog Murphy. And we are starting a new chapter. I am rediscovering who I am. I am rebuilding my life from the ground up and figuring it out one day at a time. So how did I end up here? I left a marriage that lasted 34 years. We were together for 37. And when it ended, I didn't just lose a relationship. I lost a version of my life that I thought was permanent. The routines, my identity, the future I imagined, gone, just gone. And suddenly it was just me. Everything felt unstable. I had no stability in my life at that point. I didn't know where I belonged anymore. I packed up my stuff. I threw it all into my trailer and I left Ontario and moved out west, and I now split my time between Alberta and Vancouver Island.
Did you know, brother, that 80% of divorces are filed by women? But there's an even more curious fact. 45% of those divorces are filed by women aged 50 or older. And why at that age specifically? Because many men are nearing 60 and about to retire. While you'd think that would be the time to enjoy everything they've built together as a couple, for many women, it's not like that. Having him at home means taking care of him, spending more time with him, and a lot of them simply don't want that anymore. On top of that, it's a strategically perfect time to get divorced. They've been together for over 20 or 30 years, which entitles them to 50% of everything, including the 401k, alimony, and even part of the retirement fund. Like this woman who left a 34-year marriage, packed her things, and is now out rediscovering herself with her dog. Coincidentally, where does the money come from if she doesn't have a job?
My kids are out here, so I thought I'd be a little closer to my kids, you know, have at least that part of, or that small bit of stability in my life. My kids were there. But they have their own lives. And I can't rely on them. And I shouldn't rely on them for the stability that I need in my life. So once I finally got settled here, I started doing little routines again to build some stability in my life. But there was still something missing. It still did not feel like, I still felt like I was living in limbo. Until I got this little guy, Luffy. My cutie. He didn't care about my past.
He just needed me to show up. That's all. He just needed me to show up every single day. And he gave me a reason to get out of bed with a smile on my face. A reason to care again. And he brought rhythm, actually, back into my life. He brought structure, something real, something that I needed. I used to build my world around someone else. And now I'm learning how to build it around me. Around us. Yeah. I am so very grateful for this little guy. He has brought so much love, happiness, fun back into my life. But definitely the most important thing that I'm getting from him, and hopefully he's getting from me too, is stability. Just showing up every day. No judgments. Just love. And I think we all need a little bit of that in our lives, don't we?
Oh, hell no!
You just have to hear that phrase. No judgment, only love. When a woman says that right after leaving the husband who stood by her side for decades, you already know she doesn't want to be held accountable for breaking up a family. Because yes, brother, the man provided, supported, worked, and in the end, when he's expecting a little gratitude, she just walks away. That's why it's not uncommon to see so many men alone in their old age, in nursing homes or hospitals, with no one by their side, no support. After more than 30 years of hard work, she walks away with the bag. And there you are, 60 or older, with no strength, no money, and no time to start over. And the saddest part, not even your kids help you. Because once she rewrites the story, you're the bad guy. It's no coincidence that divorce is one of the top three reasons why a man ends up filing for bankruptcy.
If men are so unhappy in their relationships, why don't they just leave? Great question. I got a lot of messages like that after I put out the last video. Number one, the reason why they don't leave, I'll tell you right now, it's money. That is the number one reason. You have to understand, when a man leaves a long-term relationship or a marriage, he's probably going to have to, if there's children involved, pay child support. If he's married, he's going to have to give up half of his pension. He's going to have to move out of his house. And if he has children living in that house, he's going to have to still pay for part of that house, plus get an apartment. He's going to have to support himself. Money. Money is, I believe, the number one reason why men don't leave. The second reason is, I believe, access to their children. Men don't want other people around their kids. And they are afraid that if they break up with you, you will go, you will meet someone else, you will move another man into their house, and there will be another man around their children. Men like having 24/7 access to their children, and they lose that when they get divorced. Or, you know, if they're in a long-term relationship and they leave. The third one is going to be their comfort. Men's, you know, home is their castle. They have their things arranged the way they like it. They have, you know, a man cave, or they have a garage, how they like things. Men don't like change. So now if they break up with you, they now have to uproot their entire life and move out and go, what, live in an apartment somewhere when they can have everything they want right here? Mm-mm. They don't want to leave. They don't want to change their life and their comfort. And I believe the last one, the main reason, and this is not the main reason, but like the last one of the four main reasons, is if they have like some sort of business, or if they're in church or temple, or, you know, they're worried about what people will think about them. They really are. Men view marriage, like they view divorce as almost like a failure. And a lot of times they come out looking like the villain, and they don't want that.
She's somewhat right. A lot of men don't want a radical change in their lives. But the number one reason they don't leave an unhappy marriage is simple: money. When you lose the house, daily access to your kids, become the weekend dad, get hit with child support, maybe even spousal support, and on top of that, they take half your savings, your 401k, or your retirement, what do you gain by walking away? And that's not even counting how often you still have to pay the expenses of the house you were kicked out of while you're crashing on a friend's couch or moving back in with your parents. Just trying to live alone in an apartment, if you can even afford one, is already an enormous emotional and financial burden. That's why so many men don't leave. It's not because they don't want a better life. It's because they know that rebuilding from scratch after losing everything is brutal. And as she conveniently leaves out, there's also the fear of losing access to the kids and the reality that, many times, the system just isn't on your side.
And they do care about what people think about them. So a man will stay in a relationship for those four reasons, don't mind my throat, making you absolutely like miserable, and they don't care because it's all about them. Men will go behind your back and cheat on you, and they won't leave. They will stay, and they will stay because it's for their comfort. It's rare that a man will like leave and go find himself like a multi-million dollar woman who can put him in like a beautiful lap of luxury lifestyle. That's because if a man that's very unhappy did find that, that man might leave. And you do have men that do leave their wife and kids. Listen, it happens all the time. I understand that. But your average guy, they won't just up and leave. They will stay miserable in the marriage because they don't want to give up money, children, comfort, status. Those are the reasons. In the case of myself and my ex-husband, we kind of figured it out that we weren't happy. And I, you know, like I said, I have a special needs son. We sat down like two rational people. We were able to talk it out and say, listen, I'm not happy. He wasn't happy. And kind of like work out a way where it was financially okay for the two of us. But I understand a lot of women are stay-at-home moms, or they don't have careers like I had. And it's very hard for them not to, say, take a piece of their ex-husband's pension. And they do need child support. It is what it is. But and they do. They're going to need this to raise their children. But if you're asking me why they don't leave, it's money, children, comfort, and status. And they will make your lives miserable while they stay in this uncomfortable relationship. They'll stay forever uncomfortable. That's just what a guy will do. It's not advantageous for them at all to leave, so they'd rather just live miserable. It's however you want to live your life. That's the best way I can put it. It's men don't leave. Not they do leave, but they don't leave, if that makes sense. I hope that helped. Take care. Be well. Bye-bye.
This idea that a man loses respect for protecting himself in a relationship, I really doubt it. Nowadays, it's rare for a man not to have at least one friend who's been through a divorce and lost everything. The truly hard part isn't the breakup itself. It's the process of rebuilding afterward. Fighting for custody of your kids, watching another man live in the house you paid for with your own sweat, that's what leaves a mark on a man. And that's why many don't jump into marriage blindly anymore. Today, men prefer living together without getting legally married. They'd rather the woman work, pay for a babysitter if needed, but not carry the whole burden themselves, just to have it used against them later. That's why they ask for prenuptial agreements. It's not that they don't love, it's that the game has changed. With a divorce rate where 80% of cases are filed by women, marriage feels like playing Russian roulette. You just hope you're not the one who takes the hit. And if you are, you better be ready.
Women.
Calling case 2024-3394-DM, Brianna McDermott versus Kyle McDermott. Today is Tuesday, January 21st, 2025 at
9:26 a.m. Court will note the appearance of Mr. Todd on behalf of the plaintiff, defendant appearing in pro per. There are two matters before the court: the plaintiff's motion for temporary custody, parenting time, and defendant's motion to determine child born out of wedlock. We'll address Mr. Todd's motion first. I guess I'll ask Mr. Derman, in consideration of your motion, are you contesting or disputing custody or anything?
Your Honor, I'm disputing the custody of the oldest child.
Okay. Okay. Then go ahead, Mr. Todd.
Let's break it down. Mr. McDermott claims that the child was born outside of the marriage, which clearly implies that he doubts being the biological father. Meanwhile, Mrs. McDermott is seeking temporary custody and parenting time. And this is where things get complicated. In Kansas, if a child is born during a marriage, the husband is legally presumed to be the father, even if he isn't biologically. So if Mr. McDermott is right and the child isn't his, then was he raising and supporting another man's child? And if that's the case, what role did Mrs. McDermott play in all of this? Was it infidelity or a deliberate omission? But before jumping to conclusions, let's take a look at how Mrs. McDermott's attorney presents her case.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, the parties separated in September when a PPO was granted. Since that point, the PPO has in fact been violated. Since separation, defendant has had no contact and no parenting time. The motion actually is not necessarily accurate at this point. Mr. McDermott did request some parenting time in late November. And my client indicated that that would be fine as long as it was with a third party neutral, or alternatively, it could be supervised by his mother. We do believe it's in the best interest of the children for mother to retain sole legal and sole physical custody, with parenting time only being supervised. We've outlined those reasons in the motion. Defendant has not spent one overnight alone with the children ever, including prior to separation. Defendant has significant anger issues. He has chased one of the children up the stairs saying he will beat their butt. That child was 6 years old. We have a recording of this. Additionally, defendant has a pretty significant criminal history. He pled guilty in 2023 to assault with intent to do great bodily harm, less than murder. During this particular incident, he was drunk. He forced plaintiff downstairs, holding her hands behind her back, and began to choke her while she was calling 911. And also, he had a hatchet and was threatening her. Defendant has uncontrollable fits of rage and anger. Additionally, he cannot provide a stable or consistent environment for the children in any way. In June of 2024, there was an incident where he was drunk, put the children in the car, and then proceeded to do burnouts. In July of 24, there was an incident where a defendant threatened to murder someone. The children woke up during this incident, and then defendant started to yell at the children. Later in July of 2024, there was an incident where defendant was drunk, yelling at both plaintiff and the children, calling them pussies and saying that he would teach them a lesson. We have a recording of that. In August of 2024, there was an incident when defendant was drunk. He cut off the power to the home, and plaintiff woke up. Defendant had jelly covered on his face and was holding a knife. We have pictures of this incident as well. Additionally, there was a hit and run, which defendant admitted to, and we have this in recording. Given all this, we believe it's appropriate that he obtain a psychological evaluation and comply with any and all recommendations prior to any unsupervised parenting time. This behavior is continuing to get more aggressive and worse and uncontrollable. Alternatively, my client is a stable income as a teacher and a stable home for the children, has a strong connection with the children, and we are requesting child support to be backdated from the date that we filed this. So in total, we're requesting sole custody be given to my client, defendant complete a psychological evaluation and comply with any recommendations prior to unsupervised parenting time, but he can have supervised parenting time through a third party neutral, or alternatively his mother. And we would respectfully request that that be limited to 3 hours per week.
Okay, thank you.
Stop it. Get some help.
Before we hear from Mr. McDermott, I need to say something directly. If everything Mrs. McDermott's lawyer said is true, this man is in serious trouble. Let's not pretend otherwise. But we also can't ignore a reality. In family court cases, accusations of abuse against men are all too common, especially when custody is being contested. We see it all the time. Now, there's something I want to make very clear to the men watching. Never, ever go into a hearing without a lawyer, especially if you're requesting a paternity test or defending against a custody motion. Your legal representation is crucial. Because if you don't know how to defend yourself, the court is going to take everything the other side says at face value. with no one there to challenge it. And even more so when what's at stake is whether or not the child is actually yours.
Mr. McDermott, what's your response?
Your Honor, well, she's accused me of being extremely intoxicated multiple times, even to the point where telling my parents that I'm drunk in the driveway. And my dad actually would come over and make surprise visits and find that I had not drank anything. I was not drinking during the burnouts. When I got arrested for putting my hands on her, I went through the entire program and she dropped the charges at the day of my court date and the state picked it up. I went through their entire program, was released off probation early, and I was even offered a job. The reason I've had no overnights is because I don't quite understand the PPO, and I was seeing my children at the house up until 11/17/24 when the talk of splitting items and divorce came up. And I do have this on recording. And then 11/24, she had canceled on me. I had a visit on 11/25, a video visit. And all these incidents where apparently I was drunk and obscene, my question is how come the police were never called then if I was such a danger? And I apologize, Your Honor, for this, but I did actually go to Barry County Mental Health and had an evaluation done, but I didn't get my letter back until Saturday, so I wasn't able to send out the appropriate copies. But I do have that, and I was going to send those in today.
Great. Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Todd?
No, Your Honor, but the PPO does allow for peaceful contact as it relates to the children.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Mr. McDermott made a key point in his defense. If he supposedly committed so many violent acts, why was the police never called at the time of any of them? That's something we can't just ignore. He also confirmed that his father made surprise visits to check whether he had been drinking or not. In addition, he mentioned that there was already a lawsuit that Mrs. McDermott later withdrew, which clearly raises a red flag that she might be using the legal system as a weapon, something we often see when emotions get entangled with the judicial process. That said, Mr. McDermott didn't clarify the issue of the child who was allegedly born outside the marriage, and that leaves a lot of unanswered questions. It's not clear how many children are involved in total, or whether only one of them might not be his, or if there are more with questionable paternity.
Women.
Well, what the court will do in the interim, the court will grant to the plaintiff legal and physical custody support pursuant to guidelines to the date of notice of your motion, Mr. Todd. Court would allow supervised parenting time for up to 5 hours on Saturday from 12 o'clock noon to 5 o'clock p.m. That could be exercised at his mother's home or at some other third party that the plaintiff would approve and agree to. And Mr. McDermott, you'll have to provide that psychological evaluation to Mr. Todd within 7 days of today's day.
Yes, Your Honor.
That will take care of that part. Mr. McDermott, now we'll address your motion to determine child born out of wedlock. Go ahead, sir.
Well, when I had met the plaintiff, she was already pregnant, and she kept his real father out of his life for about 2 years. And after that, I mean, he has been seeing him all the time. He's over there almost every weekend, and I just don't feel it necessary for me to have to pay support when his real father is seeing him consistently. And as far as me signing the birth certificate, to be honest, I really didn't even know what I was signing.
Yeah. Well, that's unfortunate. Okay. Mr. Todd had filed a response, which was consistent with what this court had was thinking when I found this. Mr. McDermott, pursuant to the statute, which is 722.1441, you're required to take action and file your action within 3 years of the child's birth. Child's 8 years old, so you've missed the statute of limitations for filing this action. What's your response to that, sir?
Your Honor, I was not aware of that.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, whether you're aware of it or not, it's still the law. And as a result, the court can't just ignore the law because you weren't aware of it, unfortunately. So the court doesn't find any basis at the current time for your motion in this matter. So I'm going to deny and dismiss the motion. I'll ask Mr. Todd that you would prepare an order to that extent, as well as a motion on the other the matter. It might be better if you did them separate. That way,
sure.
Rather than one, just one order.
Okay, absolutely.
Okay, that will be the ruling of the court, and you're free to go and have a good day.
Oh, I apologize, Your Honor. One other thing. Can I request an exchange of income within 7 days?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. McDermott, send to Mr. Todd proof of your income, and he will send the same to you as proof of the plaintiff's.
In short, Mr. McDermott has just been told that he's going to be responsible for that child, whether he wants to or not. And this is the reality for many men. They end up becoming the beta provider for a single mother. The man meets a pregnant woman, marries her, raises another man's child, and in the end, when she's done with him, she goes back to the biological father, the Chad who did nothing more than plant the seed. Which, let's be honest, is what really matters. Don't be fooled. Paternity Challenge Law, MCL 722.1441. In Michigan, if a man signs the birth certificate and doesn't legally challenge paternity within the first 3 years, he loses the right to do so later. The judge is right. You need to read what you're signing. The law won't change just because you were used as a convenient fool. And then people wonder why men don't want to date single mothers. She wins. She gets custody, controls visitation, puts the beta provider on the hook to pay for another man's child, and still sees the guy she actually wants, Chad, the biological father, the one she's really into. Now, Mr. McDermott can't cancel his obligation, doesn't have custody, can only see the child 5 supervised hours per week. And to top it all off, a motion is already being filed to review his income, which means his child support payments are about to go up. All of this while going through a divorce. Brother, this man is screwed from every angle. We've reached the end of the video, but before we go, here are the questions for you. Is this fair? Do you think a man in his position should have had a lawyer? Or did the judge simply follow the law? If you enjoyed the video, make sure to give it a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, and hit the notification bell. Your support means the world to us and motivates us to keep creating more content. Stay tuned for the next exciting video from The Wall.